I was at the post office the other day. This older fella came up to me and he had a blank postcard in his hand. He said, would you please address this postcard for me? I can't see too well and it's hard for me to write. And I said, well, sure I will. Give me the card. What's the address? I addressed it for him. I noticed he hadn't put anything over here in the little note section there, message section. I said, would you like for me to write a message for you? And he said, yes. He told me what to write. I did that. And I said, okay, that looks like you're good to go. Is there anything else I can do for you? And he said, yes, would you add one more thing? I said, well, sure I will. He said, would you write P.S.? I'm sorry for the bad penmanship. You've been there, maybe not at the post office, but you've been there. And by the way, that didn't really happen to me. You've been there when you've done something nice for somebody and they didn't really seem to appreciate it, right? I mean, maybe it's not that you expect someone to say thank you every time you do something nice. If you do, that's on you, by the way. But it would be nice if people appreciated what you've done when you do something out of the ordinary. You go out of your way to help somebody. You give somebody something special. It'd be nice if they let you know that they appreciated it in some way. Well, that's really kind of what we're talking about this morning. Just the idea of give thanks. As you can imagine, by the way, we're going to be in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. If you want to go ahead and start finding 1 Chronicles, that's in the Old Testament, by the way. Don't go to Corinthians in the New Testament. This is 1 Chronicles, Old Testament. While you're looking at that, I wanted to just kind of confess to you that, as you can imagine, it can be hard to preach holidays after you've been in the same place for a long time. How do you say something new and different every year about the same holiday when you're speaking to the same crowd? It can be a little bit of a challenge. So one of the things that I did was I looked back on some of my previous messages, and what I noticed, I had one that was called Attitude of Gratitude. I had one called Thanks Living. And most of my messages over the years have been about having that attitude, being grateful, being thankful. It looked at kind of the internal aspect of Thanksgiving. And I still buy all that, and that's all still valid because that's where it begins. But this year, I want us to go a little bit farther, a little bit deeper than just the attitude or the feeling of thankfulness. Because Scripture, what I figured out is Scripture doesn't say, feel thanks. Over and over, Scripture says, give thanks. It's an action. It's a command to conduct some activity. Give thanks. And so that's what I want us to look at this morning. More than being thankful, I want to challenge us to go one step farther and to actually say thank you. Don't just feel it, but actually say thank you, to give thanks. Now, those of us who are in the sanctuary this morning who like traditional messages with 3 points that all start with the same letter, we're going to be a little uneasy this morning because this is not going to be one of those messages. There's an old preacher story about the seminary student who was in preaching class, and he asked the preaching professor, how many points should a sermon have? And the preaching professor said, well, at least one. So this morning, I'm going to promise you there is at least one point, but there's only one, because it's so important that I want us to just camp out there and think it through carefully. What I want us to see is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Let's begin at verse 30. Tremble before him, all the earth. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He says, when you come before God, there should be a sense of awe, a sense of fear. There should be a certain amount of trembling. I think perhaps, maybe, we get so personally comfortable with God that perhaps, maybe, we take His majesty for granted sometimes. Perhaps, maybe, we overlook His greatness. And we take advantage of the fact that He has given us free access into the throne room. And maybe, perhaps, we forget what a mighty God we serve. And so we read in verse 30, "Tremble before Him, all the earth. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved." God has placed us in a firm place, and so we can tremble before God, knowing that the earth below our feet will stay, that it'll be all right, you'll endure. But it's a good thing for us to come before His mighty presence in fear and awe and tremble before Him. And as we come into His presence in such a holy way, then we are able to move forward and hear these beautiful verses. "Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for He is coming to judge the earth." He says that God is so great that He deserves our praise, and not only our praise, but the praise of all of creation. Because of His greatness, human praise is not enough. All of creation will join in the praise. The sea and all that's in it, the land and all that's on it, the air and all that is throughout it will praise God in His greatness. And then verse 34, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. For He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting." You see, in that text, we are reminded, yea, commanded, give thanks. Don't just feel it. It starts there, but it's not enough to stop there. You go on and you don't only just appreciate it, you don't only just feel it, you don't only have an attitude of thankfulness, but you go ahead and say, "Thank you, God." You give thanks. Why? Because His love is everlasting. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. His love never stops. That means that we can learn to be grateful. We can learn to say thank you regardless of the circumstances in which we find ourselves, because we don't thank Him based on our circumstances. We thank Him based on who He is. And He is always good. His loving kindness always endures. Therefore, we can always learn to say thank you. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul said it this way, "Always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And again, I noticed that the author here, Paul, didn't say, "Be thankful," but he said, "Give thanks to God, the Father, for everything." That can be difficult at times. I read recently about the elementary school boy who had to get glasses for the first time. That evening he was saying his prayers at bedtime, and he thanked God for his new glasses. His mother was kind of surprised that he was grateful for glasses, so she asked him why he had given thanks for them. And he said, "Well, now that I have glasses, they'll keep the boys from hitting me and the girls from kissing me." There is a way to find a way to say thank you. I'm reminded of the old Scottish preacher whose last name was White. They called him Reverend White. He would begin every worship time, every prayer, he would begin by saying, "Dear God, thank you." It became a habit, so that then he put him in a position where he had to find some way to finish that sentence. "Dear God, thank you." Start that before you even think, and then fill in the blanks. And that was his habit. One Sunday morning, there was a storm outside, and it was dreary, and it was cold, and nobody wanted to be there. The parishioner sat out in the pew, and the parishioner was thinking, "I wonder what Reverend White is going to say this time. Wonder how he's going to be able to get through this. Nobody wants to be here. There's nothing today to be grateful for. It's a terrible day. Let's see what he says this time." White stood to the pulpit and he said, "Dear God, thank you that all days are not like this day. You see, there is a way to find a way to say thank you." Ephesians tells us, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the last part of that verse, there is a hint to the help that we need. There are times when we say, "How can I be grateful? How can I say thank you?" Well, the last part of that verse reminds us that if you have absolutely nothing else in the world or in this life to say thank you for, if everything is so bad right now in your life, there is absolutely nothing to say thank you for, you always have the Lord Jesus Christ for whom you can say thank you. God the Father gave His only Son that we might have life, and you will never be in a position that is so bad that that in itself is not enough to say thank you. Always giving thanks to God. 1 Thessalonians follows up the same concept in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. Give thanks. Notice again, no command here to have the right attitude. No command here to feel it, to be thankful. The command is do it. Give thanks. Say thank you in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances. In 1636, that's a long time ago, in 1636, during the terrible 30 Years' War, Martin Reinhardt was a Lutheran pastor in Germany. His city of Eilenburg became the refuge for political and military fugitives. There was a wall around that city, and because there was a wall around that city, it became a safe haven, if you will. People were flocking there to try to find some kind of safety and security. But the result of that was terrible overcrowding, deadly pestilence, famine. It is said that one year he buried around 5,000 people, with an average 15 people a day, and as many as up to 50 people in one day. While his parish was ravaged with war and death and disaster, he wrote this table grace for his children, this prayer to say at the meal. He wrote this out during all that experience. This is what he taught his children to pray. "Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today." Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I love that, what became that old hymn. You probably are familiar with those words. You may have even heard the tune starting in your mind as I read those words. It's an old hymn that we've sung for years. But I love that one line there. "Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices. Yes, thank Him with your heart. Yes, have the attitude, the feeling of gratefulness. Yes. But then also thank Him with your hands. Do something to demonstrate that you're grateful. Do something for someone less fortunate than you as an act of saying to God, I recognize, God, what you've done for me, and now I want to do for others. And then also thank Him with your voice, your heart, your hand, and your voice. Don't forget, in the midst of all the right feelings and all the right attitudes, don't forget to follow through and say thank you, to give thanks. Psalm 136, beginning at verse 1. There are so many verses in this text, I don't want to put them all on the screen, but I'll be glad to read them to you. I'm in Psalm 136. Those of you who take notes, write down that chapter, Psalm 136, because I want to encourage you sometime during this week to look at the entire psalm. There is a recurring refrain, a recurring statement in every verse of this psalm. It is a powerful experience to read through it slowly and carefully. And here, let me just show you the first 9 verses. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Does that sound familiar? That is our text that we're looking at today in 1 Chronicles. That was a common song that was sung among God's people. Verse 2 says, give thanks to the God of gods, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who made the heavens with skill, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who spread out the earth above the waters, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who made the great lights, for His loving kindness is everlasting. The sun to rule the day, for His loving kindness is everlasting. The moon and stars to rule the night. Can you say the last part? For His loving kindness is everlasting. Over and over, for throughout that whole chapter, every verse, 26 verses, ends the same way. For His loving kindness is everlasting. That is the source of our gratitude. The reason that we can say thank you is because we know that His loving kindness is everlasting. It doesn't matter what my circumstances are. His loving kindness is everlasting. And because of that, I know that I can find a way to make a way to say thank you. In 1883, it is said that in New England, the sun did not rise. The people awoke to an eerie darkness. They went outside to do their chores, and they were silenced. There was no rooster crowing, no birds chirping, none of the usual sounds on a new day. At the very start, people began to gather in small groups to question what was happening, to wonder and discuss what was taking place. Slowly, people began to make their way to the churches. They say that by 12 noon, every church in New England was filled to overflowing with people on their knees crying out to God. Imagine what it must have been like for them. You get up one morning and there's no sun. Because there's no sun, there are no roosters hollering. Because there are no roosters, no other bird, nothing is happening. It's complete darkness all the way till noon. My guess is that even here in West Kama, Texas, if the sun chose not to come up one day, my guess is that there would be people here trying to get in to have some time of prayer and purpose and some sense of meaning. They sat by They say that by 12 noon, every church in New England was filled to overflowing with people on their knees crying out to God. There were cries for mercy, people begging for forgiveness, others confessing their sins. They say that there were few people who didn't pray the day the sun didn't rise. The churches were full late into the night. As the next morning neared, great crowds began to gather on the hilltops and the high places near their homes and churches. People were staring toward the eastern horizon. Every eye was fixed on that point where the sky touched the land. Every eye watching, hoping to catch a glimmer of the first rays of the sun. As the sun began to come up over the horizon, people began to shout and yell praise to God. They clapped and danced and rejoiced because the sun shined on the land again. As if in one voice, they began to praise the Lord for the sunlight, the warmth, and the joy of God's new day. They had no idea that on the island nation of Indonesia, the sleeping giant of a volcano, Krakatoa, had come to life. They had no idea that this great mountain had exploded, sending a huge cloud of dust and ash into the upper atmosphere. This black cloud would be carried around the world by the jet stream. It was said to cover whole regions, covering the sky from horizon to horizon. Few people had any idea that a volcano halfway around the world could create such a cloud that could block out the sun. Yet, for most of those people, the very first time they ever thanked God for the warmth and wonder of the sun. You wake up one day and there is no sun, and all of a sudden you realize how much you need the sun, and the next time you see it, you're grateful for it. The story points out a part of us, and that is that we take for granted that which we receive easily. I don't think I have awakened any time recently and thanked God for the sun, and yet how would I survive without it? When is the last time that we thanked God for figuring out a way that the trees help us breathe and we help them live? Those things that make up our lives, that we receive easily, we take for granted too quickly. And so Scripture reminds us, don't forget, give thanks. Let it start with a grateful heart, but don't let it stay there. Do it, say it, give thanks. And so our text in 1 Chronicles reminds us that we give thanks because He is good, because His loving kindness lasts forever. I want to encourage you to do something. I want you to write a list of things for which you're grateful. On the back of your worship folder, there's a big section there called notes. That might be a great place to do that. I want you to write a list of things that you're grateful for. But when you do, there are two things that I want you to remember. Keep these two things in mind as you write your list. One, family, friends, and health are too obvious, so go farther and deeper than just those three. Okay? If you want to put those three down, that's great. Put down family, friends, and health. Now, really give it some thought and go a little bit deeper and start writing down some things for which you're grateful. And the second thing to keep in mind is don't settle for just being thankful about those things on your list. Be personal and specific when you speak directly to God and say thank you. Would you do that this week? Make a list. Don't let it be too easy with the top three. And then very specifically and personally actually say thank you. Dear God, we thank you today for life, for love. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can know, even if the sun doesn't rise, we can know that God is good and his love is everlasting. Help us that we might build our lives on those truths that God is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Father, we pray that as we build our lives that way, you would help us to not only be grateful, but to give thanks. We ask your help in these things because we need your help to do them. Lord, we also pray now that your Holy Spirit would move and do your work in our lives. We pray for it in Jesus' name. We're going to sing together, "I'd Rather Have Jesus." The idea is you look at all the things in the world and all the things that we have, and they're great and wonderful. But boy, I'd be willing to get rid of every one of them if I had to do that just to have a relationship with Jesus that lasted forever. There is nobody anywhere who could honestly say, "I have nothing to be grateful for," because if there's absolutely nothing you can see, the truth remains, Jesus died for you. And that in itself is enough to cause us to say thank you. So as we think on those things, if the Lord would call you to give your life to the one who died for you, would you come? Let me pray with you about that. You can commit your life to him today and leave this place a new person. Maybe he calls someone else to join the church or to enter into missions or ministries. Come and let me know about that so we can pray together.